Warning. One word, over and over. One word for her. Swim. Lysandra craned her head toward where the queen stood atop the reef. But Aelin was pointing behind Lysandra, not at the remaining ship, but the open water, where three massive forms raged through the waves, aiming right for her. Chapter 37. Adian's queen was on the reef, Rowan beside her, his father and Fenris flanking them. Rolf and most of his men had made it to the opposite side of the narrow bay mouth, atop the reef there. And through the channel between them, one warship, one sea dragon, and three sea wyverns. Adult sea wyverns. The first two. They hadn't been full grown.
Oh, shit.
The sentry beside Adian on the watchtower began chanting.
Oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
The sea wyverns that Rolf had claimed would go to the ends of the earth to slaughter whoever killed their offspring. Only being in the heart of the continent might save you, but even then, waterways would never be safe. And Lysandra had just killed two. It seemed they had not come alone, and from the cheering of the Volg soldiers on that remaining warship, it had been a trap. The offspring had been the bait. They had only been slightly bigger than Lysandra. The adults, the bulls, were thrice her size. Longer than the warship now sitting there, archers firing at the men trying to swim ashore, in the channel that had become a death trap for the green sea dragon. The green sea dragon who now stood between the three monstrous creatures and his queen, stranded on those rocks with not even an ember of magic left in her veins. His queen, screaming over and over and over at Lysandra to swim, to shift, to run. But Adian had seen Lysandra take on the two offspring. By the second, she'd been lagging, and he'd seen her change shape so often these past months to know she couldn't shift fast enough now. Perhaps might not have enough strength left to do it at all. She was stranded in her form, as surely as his companions were stuck on the reef. And if Lysandra even tried to climb onto shore, he knew the bulls would reach her before she could so much as haul her body out of the shallows. Faster and faster, those three bulls closed in. Lysandra remained at the mouth of the bay, holding the line. Adian's heart stopped.
"She's dead," one of the sentries hissed. "Oh, gods, she's dead."
"Shut your rotting mouth,"
Adian snarled, scanning the bay, slipping into that cold, calculating place that allowed him to make decisions in battle, to weigh the costs and risks. Dorian, however, got the idea before he did. Across the bay, hand uplifted and flickering bright as a star, Dorian signaled Lysandra again and again with his power. "Come to me. Come to me. Come to me," the king seemed to call. The three bulls sank beneath the waves. Lysandra turned, plunging down, but not toward Dorian. Aelin stopped shouting, and Dorian's magic winked out. Adian could only watch as the shapeshifter's shadow soared toward the three bulls, meeting them head-on. The three wyverns spread out, so huge Adian's throat went dry. And for the first time, he hated his cousin. He hated Aelin for asking this of Lysandra, both to defend them and to secure the Mycenaeans to fight for Terrasen. Hated the people who had left such scars on the shifter that Lysandra was so willing to throw her life away. Hated himself for being stuck in this useless tower with a war machine only capable of firing one shot at a time. Lysandra aimed for the wyvern in the middle, and when only 100 yards separated them, she veered left. They broke formation, one diving low, one keeping to the surface, and the other falling back. They were going to herd her, herd her to a spot where they'd surround her from every angle and then rip her to shreds. It would be messy and vicious. But Lysandra shot across the channel, headed right for the final remaining warship. Arrows rained down on her. Blood bloomed, as some found their mark through her jade scales. She kept swimming, her blood sending the bull closest to her, the one near the surface, into a frenzy, pushing himself faster to grab her, bite her. Lysandra neared the ship, taking arrow after arrow, and leaped out of the water. She crashed into soldiers and wood and the mast, rolling, writhing and bucking, the twin masts snapping under her tail. She hit the other side, flipping down into the water, red blood shining everywhere. Just as the wyvern on her ass leaped onto the ship in a mighty arc that took Adian's breath away. But with the jagged stumps of the masts jutting up like lances, the bull landed atop them with a crunch that Adian heard across the bay. He bucked, but that was wood now piercing through his back. And beneath his enormous weight, the ship began to crack and sink. Lysandra wasted no time in getting clear, and Adian could barely draw breath as she shot across the bay again, the two bulls so horribly close that their wakes merged. One dove, the depth swallowing him from sight, but the second one, still on her tail. Lysandra led that one right into Dorian's range. She drew in as close to the shore and looming tower as she could get, bringing the second bull with her. The king stretched out both hands. The bull raged past, only to halt as ice lashed across the water. Solid ice, such as there had never been here. The sentries beside Adian fell silent. The bull roared, trying to wrest himself free, but the king's ice grew thicker, trapping the wyvern within its frozen grip. When the beast stopped moving, hoarfrost-like scales covered him from snout to tail. Dorian loosed a battle cry. And Adian had to admit the king wasn't that useless after all, as the catapult behind Dorian sprang free, and a rock the size of a wagon jettisoned into the bay, right atop the frozen wyvern. Rock met ice and flesh, and the wyvern shattered into a thousand pieces. Rolf and some of his men were cheering. People were cheering from the docks in town. But there was one bull left in the harbor, and Lysandra was... She had no idea where the bull was. The long green body thrashed in the water, dipping beneath the waves, near frantic. Adian scanned the bay, rotating in the gunner chair as he did, searching for any hint of that colossal dark shadow. "Your left!" Gavriel roared across the bay, magic no doubt amplifying his voice. Lysandra twisted, and there the bull was, speeding out of the depths, as if he were a shark ambushing prey. Lysandra threw herself into movement. A field of floating debris lay around her, the sinking ships of their enemy like islands of death. And there was the chain. If she could maybe get on it and climb high... No, she was too heavy, too slow. She again streaked past Dorian's tower, but the bull wouldn't get near. He knew doom awaited him there. He kept just out of range, playing with her, as she launched back into the field of debris between the enemy ships, toward the open sea. Aelin and the others watched helplessly from the reef outcropping, as the two monsters swept by, the bull sending bits of broken hulls and masts into the air, aiming at the shifter. One struck Lysandra in the side, and she went down. Adian shot out of his seat, a roar on his lips. But there she was, blood streaming from her as she swam and swam, as she led that bull through the heart of debris, then cut back, sharply. The bull followed through the blood clouding the water, blasting through debris that she nimbly dodged. She'd worked him into a blood frenzy. And Lysandra, damn her, led him to the remnants of enemy ships, where Volg soldiers were trying to save themselves. The bull exploded through soldier and wood as if they were veils of gossamer. Leaping through the water, twining around debris and coral and bodies, the sunlight glinting on green scales and ruby blood. Lysandra led the bull into a dance of death. Each movement slower, as more of her blood leaked into the water. And then she changed course, heading into the bay, to the chain, and cut north, toward him. Adian examined the massive bolt before him. 300 yards of open water separated her from the range of his arrow.
Swim!
Adian roared, even if she couldn't hear.
Swim, Lysandra!
Silence fell across the entirety of Skull's Bay as that jade sea dragon swam for her life. The bull gained on her, diving down. Lysandra passed under the links of the chain, and the shadow of the bull spread beneath her. So small. She was so small compared to him. One bite was all it would take. Adian slammed himself back into the gunner chair, gripping the levers and pivoting the machine as she swam and swam for him. One shot. That was all he'd have. One god's damned shot. Lysandra hurled herself forward, and Adian knew she was aware of the death that loomed. Knew she was pushing that sea dragon's heart to near stopping. Knew that the bull had reached the bottom and now launched himself up, up, up toward her vulnerable belly. Only a few more yards. Only a few more heartbeats. Sweat slid down Adian's brow, his own heart hammering so violently all he could hear was its thunder. He shifted the spear, slightly, adjusting his aim. The bull raged up from the deep, maw open, ready to rip her in half with one blow. Lysandra passed into range and leaped clean out of the water, all sparkling scales and blood. The bull jumped with her, water streaming from his open jaws as they arced up. Adian fired, slamming his palms into the lever. Lysandra's long body arched away from those jaws as the bull lifted clean out of the water, baring his white throat, as Adian's massive spear went clean through it. Blood spurted from the open jaws, and the creature's eyes went wide as he reared back. Lysandra slammed into the water, sending a plume so high it blocked out the sight of both of them as they crashed into the sea. When it subsided, there was only the shadow of them, and a growing pool of black blood.
You,
the sentry babbled.
Load another one,
he ordered, standing from his seat to scan the bubbling water.
Where was she?
Aelin was perched on Rowan's shoulders, scanning the bay. And then a green head shot from the water, black blood spraying like spindrift, as she hurled the severed head of the bull across the waves. Cheering. Riotous, wild cheering exploded from every corner of the bay. But Adian was already up and running, half leaping down the stairs that would take him toward the beach that Lysandra now swam for, her own blood replacing the black ichor that stained the water. So slow. Each of her movements was so painfully slow. He lost track of her as he descended below the tree line, his chest heaving. Roots and stones wrenched at him, but his fey-swift feet flew over the loam until it turned to sand, until light broke through the trees. And there she was, sprawled on the beach, bleeding everywhere. Beyond them, out in the bay, Shipbreaker dropped low, and Rolf's fleet swept out to pick off the surviving soldiers and save any of their own still out there. He vaguely noted Aelin and the others diving into the sea, swimming hard for land. Adian dropped to his knees, wincing as sand sprayed onto her. Her scaled head was nearly as big as he was, but her eyes, those green eyes, the same color as her scales, full of pain and exhaustion. He lifted a hand toward her, but she showed her teeth, a low snarl slipping out of her. He held up his hands, scooting back. It was not the woman who looked at him, but the beast she'd become, as if she had given herself so fully to its instincts that it had been the only way to survive. There were gashes and slices everywhere, all dribbling blood, soaking the white sand. Rowan and Aelin, one of them could help, if they could summon any power after what the queen had done. Lysandra closed her eyes, her breathing shallow.
"Open your god-damned eyes,"
Adian snarled. She snarled back, but cracked open an eye.
"You made it this far. Don't die on the rutting beach."
The eye narrowed, with a hint of female temper. He had to get the woman back, let her take control, or else the beast would never allow them near enough to help.
"You can thank me when your sorry ass is healed."
Again, that eye watched him warily, temper flickering. But an animal remained. Adian drawled, even as his relief began to crumble his mask of arrogant calmness.
"The useless sentries in the watchtower are now all half in love with you,"
he lied.
"One said he wanted to marry you."
A low snarl. He yielded a foot, but held eye contact with her as he grinned.
"But you know what I told them? I said that they didn't stand a chance in hell."
Adian lowered his voice, holding her pained, exhausted stare.
"Because I am going to marry you,"
he promised her.
"One day. I am going to marry you. I'll be generous and let you pick when, even if it's 10 years from now, or 20. But one day, you are going to be my wife."
Those eyes narrowed, in what he could only call female outrage and exasperation. He shrugged.
"Princess Lysandra Ash River sounds nice, doesn't it?"
And then the dragon huffed, in amusement. Exhaustion, but amusement. She opened her jaws, as if she'd try to speak, but realized she couldn't in this body. Blood leaked through her enormous teeth, and she shuddered in pain. Brush snapped and crashed, and there were Aelin and Rowan, and his father and Fenris. All of them soaked, covered in sand, and gray as death. His queen staggered for Lysandra with a sob, flinging herself onto the sand before Adian could bark a warning. But Lysandra only winced as the queen laid a hand on her, saying over and over,
"I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry."
Fenris and Gavriel, who had maybe saved her life with that amplified shout about the bull's location, lingered near the tree line as Rowan approached, surveying the wounds. Fenris spotted Adian's glance, spotted the warning wrath on his face if either of them got near the shifter, and said,
"That was one hell of a shot, boyo."
His father nodded in silent agreement. Adian ignored them both. Whatever well of magic his cousin and Rowan had depleted was already refilling. The shifter's wounds knitted closed, one by one. Slowly. Painfully slowly, but the bleeding stopped.
"She lost a lot of blood,"
Rowan observed, to none of them in particular.
"Too much. I've never seen anything like that in my life,"
Fenris murmured. None of them had. Aelin was trembling, a hand on her friend, face so white and drawn that any harsh words he'd reserved for her were unnecessary. His queen knew the cost. It had taken her so damn long to trust any of them to do anything. If Adian roared at her now, even if he still yearned to, Aelin might never delegate again. Because if Lysandra hadn't been in the water when things had gone so, so badly...
"What happened?"
he breathed, catching Aelin's eye.
"What the hell happened out there?"
"I lost control,"
Aelin said hoarsely. As if she couldn't help it, her hand drifted to her chest, where through the white of her shirt he could make out the amulet of Orinth. He knew then, knew precisely what Aelin carried. What would have snagged Rolf's interest on that map of his. Similar enough to the Vog essence to get him to come running. Knew why it had been so important, so vital, she risked everything to get it from Erebon Hommel. Knew that she had used a word key today, and it had almost killed them all. He was shaking now, that rage indeed taking over. But Rowan snarled at him, low and vicious.
Save it for later.
Because Fenris and Gavriel had tensed, watching. Adian growled right back at him. Rowan gave him a cold, steady look that said if he so much as began to hint at what their queen carried, he'd rip out his tongue, literally. Adian shoved down the anger.
We can't carry her, and she's too weak to shift.
Then we wait here until she can, Aelin said.
But her eyes drifted to the bay, where Rolf was now being helped onto those rescue ships, and to the city beyond still cheering. A victory, but very nearly a loss. The remnants of the Mycenaeans, saved by one of their long-lost sea dragons. Aelin and Lysandra had woven ancient prophecies into tangible fact.
I'll stay, Adian said. You deal with Rolf.
His father offered from behind him.
I can get some supplies from the watchtower. Fine, he said.
Aelin groaned, getting to her feet, but stared down at him before she took Rowan's extended hand. She said softly,
I'm sorry.
Adian knew she meant it. He still didn't bother replying. Lysandra groaned, the reverberations running up his knees and straight into his gut, and Adian whirled back to the shifter. Aelin left, without further goodbye. The lion lingered in the brush, keeping out of sight and sound, as the wolf watched over the dragon still sprawled across the beach. For hours the wolf remained there, while the outgoing tide cleared the harbor of blood, while the pirate lord's ships sent any remaining enemy bodies to the crushing blue, while the young queen returned to the city in the heart of the bay to handle any fallout. Once the sun had begun to set, the dragon stirred, and slowly, her form shimmering and shrinking, scales were smoothed into skin. A snout melted back into a flawless human face, and stumpy limbs lengthened into golden legs. Sand crusted her naked body, and she tried and failed to rise. The wolf moved then, slinging his cloak around her and sweeping her into his arms. The shifter didn't object, and her eyes were again closed by the time the wolf began striding up the beach to the trees, her head leaning against his chest. The lion remained out of sight and held in the offer of help, held in the words he needed to say to the wolf, who had downed a sea wyvern with one arrow. 24 years old, and already a myth whispered over campfires. Today's events would no doubt be told around fires in lands even the lion had not roamed in all his centuries. The lion watched the wolf vanish into the trees, heading for the town at the end of the sandy road, the shifter unconscious in his arms. And the lion wondered if he himself would ever be mentioned in those whispered stories, if his son would ever allow the world to know who had sired him, or even care. Chapter 38 The meeting with Rolf once the harbor was again safe was quick. Frank. And Aelin knew if she didn't get the hell out of this city for an hour or two, she might very well explode again.
Every key has a lock,
Deanna had said. A little reminder of Brannan's order. using her voice, and had called her that title that struck some chord of horror and understanding in her, so deep she was still working out what it meant. The queen who was promised. Aelin stormed onto a spit of beach on the far side of the island, having run here, needing to get her blood roaring, needing it to silence the thoughts in her head. Behind her, Rowan's steps were quiet as death. Only the two of them had been in that meeting with Rolf. Bloodied, soaked, the pirate lord had met them in the main room of his inn, the name of it now a permanent reminder of the ship she'd wrecked. He demanded,
"What the hell happened?"
And she had been so tired, so pissed off and full of disgust and despair, that it had been nearly impossible to muster the swagger.
"When you are blessed by Mala, you find that sometimes your control can slip."
"Slip? I don't know what you fools were talking about down there, but from where I was standing, it looked like you lost your god's damned mind and were about to fire on my town."
Rowan, leaning against the edge of a nearby table, explained,
"Magic is a living thing. When you are that deep in it, remembering yourself, your purpose, is an effort. That my queen did so before it was too late is a feat in itself."
Rolf wasn't impressed. "It looks to me like you were a little girl playing with power too big for you to handle. And only your prince jumping in your path made you decide not to slaughter my innocent people." Aelin closed her eyes for a heartbeat, the image of Rowan leaping in front of that fist of moonfire flashing before her. When she opened her eyes, she let the crackling assuredness fade into something frozen and hard.
"It looks to me," she said, "like the pirate lord of Skull's Bay and long-lost Mycenaean heir has just allied with a young queen so powerful she can decimate cities if she wishes. It looks to me like you have made yourself untouchable with that alliance, and any fool who seeks to harm you, usurp you, will have me to contend with. So I suggest you salvage what you can of your precious ship, mourn the dozen men I take full responsibility for losing, and whose families I will compensate accordingly, and shut your rotting mouth."
She turned toward the door, exhaustion and rage nipping at her bones. Rolf said to her back,
"Do you want to know what the cost of this map was?"
She halted. Rowan glancing between them, face unreadable. She smirked over her shoulder.
"Your soul?"
Rolf let out a hoarse laugh.
"Yes, in a way. When I was 16, I was barely more than a slave on one of these festering ships. My Mycenaean heritage just a one-way ticket to a beating."
He laid a tattooed hand on the Thresher's lettering.
"Every coin I earned came back here, to my mother and sister. And one day the ship I was on got caught in a storm. The captain was a haughty bastard, refused to find safe harbor, and the ship was destroyed. Most of the crew drowned. I drifted for a day, washed up on an island at the edge of the archipelago, and awoke to find a man staring down at me. I asked if I was dead, and he laughed and inquired what I wanted for myself. I was so delirious I told him that I wanted to be captain. I wanted to be pirate lord of Skull's Bay, and make the arrogant fools like the captain who had killed my friends bow before me. I thought I was dreaming, when he explained that if he were to grant me the skills to do it, there would be a price. What I valued most in the world, he would have. I said I'd pay it, whatever it was. I had no belongings, no wealth, no people anyway. A few coppers would be nothing. He smiled before he vanished into a sea mist. I awoke with the ink on my hands."
Aelin waited. Rolf shrugged.
"I made it back here, finding friendly ships using the map the stranger had inked there. A gift from a god, or so I thought. But it wasn't until I saw the black sheets over my cottage's windows that I began to worry. And it wasn't until I learned that my mother and sister had used their little money to hire a skiff to go looking for me, and that the skiff had returned to harbor, but they had not, that I realized the price I'd handed over. That's what the sea claimed. What he claimed. And it made me soulless enough that I loosed myself upon this city, this archipelago. Rolf's green eyes were as merciless as the sea god who had gifted and damned him. That was the price of my power. What shall yours be, Aelin Galathinius? She didn't reply to him before storming out, though Deanna's voice had echoed in her mind. The queen who was promised. Now, standing on that empty beach and monitoring the glimmering expanse of the sea as the last of the sun vanished, Rowan said beside her,
Did you willingly use the key?
No hint of judgment, of condemnation, just curiosity and concern. Aelin rasped,
No. I don't know what happened. One minute it was us, then she came.
She rubbed at her chest, avoiding the touch of the golden chain against it. Her throat tightened as she took in that spot on his own chest, right between his pectorals, where her fist had been aimed.
How could you?
She breathed, a tremor running through her.
How could you put yourself in front of me like that?
Rowan took a step closer, but no farther. The crashing of waves and cries of gulls heading home for the night filled the space between them.
If you had destroyed that city, it would have destroyed you, and any sort of hope at an alliance.
Shaking began in her hands, spreading to her arms, her chest, her knees. Flame and ash curled on her tongue.
If I had killed you,
she hissed, but choked on the words, unable to finish the thought, the idea of it. Her throat burned, and she squeezed her eyes shut, warm flames rippling around her.
I thought I'd found the bottom of my power,
she admitted, magic already overflowing, so soon, too soon after she'd emptied herself.
I thought what I found in Wendlin was the bottom.
I had no idea it was all just an antechamber. Aelin lifted her hands, opening her eyes to find her fingers wreathed in flame. Darkness spread over the world. Through the veil of gold and blue and red, she looked at her prince. She raised her burning hands helplessly between them.
She stole me.
She took me. And I could feel her consciousness. It was like she was a spider waiting in a web for decades, knowing I'd one day be strong and stupid enough to use my magic and the key together. I might as well have rung the dinner bell. Her fire burned hotter, brighter, and she let it build and rise and flicker. A wry, bitter smile.
It seems she wants us to make finding this lock a priority, if you were given the message twice.
Indeed. Isn't it enough to contend with Erewhon and Maeve, to do the bidding of Brannon and Elena? Now I have to face the gods breathing down my neck about it as well.
Perhaps it was a warning. Perhaps Deanna wished to show you how a not-so-friendly god might use you if you're not careful.
She enjoyed every rutting second of it. She wanted to see what my power might do, what she could do with my body, with the key. Her flames burned hotter, shredding through her clothes until they were ash, until she was naked and clothed in only her own fire. And what she called me?
The queen who was promised? Promised when? To whom? To do what? I've never heard that phrase in my life, not even before Terrasen fell.
We'll figure it out.
And that was that. How can you be so fine with this?
Embers sprayed from her like a swarm of fireflies.
Rowan's mouth tightened.
Trust me, Aelin. I am anything but fine with the idea that you are fair game to those immortal bastards. I am anything but fine with the idea that you could be taken from me like that. If I could, I would hunt Deanna down and pay her back for it.
She's the goddess of the hunt. You might be at a disadvantage.
Her flames eased a bit. A half smile.
She's a haughty immortal. She's bound to slip up. And besides,
a shrug,
I have her sister on my side.
He angled his head, studying her fire, her face.
Perhaps that's why Mala appeared to me that morning. Why she gave me her blessing.
Because you're the only one arrogant and insane enough to hunt a goddess.
Rowan shucked off his boots, tossing them onto the dry sand behind him.
Because I'm the only one arrogant and insane enough to ask Mala Firebringer to let me stay with the woman I love.
Her flames turned to pure gold at the words, at that word. But she said, Perhaps you're just the only one arrogant and insane enough to love me. That unreadable mask cracked.
This new depth to your power, Aelin, changes nothing. What Deanna did changes nothing. You are still young, your power is still growing. And even if this new well of power gives us even the slightest advantage against Erewhon, then thank the rutting darkness for it. But you and I will learn to manage your power together. You do not face this alone. You do not decide that you are unlovable because you have powers that can save and destroy. If you start to resent that power...
He shook his head.
I do not think we will win this war if you start down that road.
Aelin strode into the lapping waves and sank to her knees in the surf, steam rising around her in great plumes. Sometimes, she admitted over the hissing water, I wish someone else could fight this war. Rowan stepped into the bubbling surf, his magic shielding against the heart of her.
Ah,
he said, kneeling beside her as she still gazed out over the dark sea.
But who else would be able to get under Erewhon's skin? Never underestimate the power of that insufferable swagger.
She chuckled, starting to feel the cool kiss of the water on her naked body. As far as memory serves, Prince, it was that insufferable swagger that won your cranky, immortal heart. Rowan leaned into the thin veil of flame now melting into night-sweet air, and nipped her lower lip. A sharp, wicked bite.
There's my fire heart.
Aelin let him pivot her in the sand and surf to face him fully. Let him slide his mouth along her jaw. The curve of her cheekbone, the point of her fey ear.
These,
he said, nibbling at her earlobe,
have been tempting me for months.
His tongue traced the delicate tip, and her back arched. The strong hands at her hips tightened.
Sometimes you'd be sleeping beside me at Mistward, and it'd take all my concentration not to lean over and bite them. Bite you all over.
She said, tipping back her head to grant him access to her neck. Rowan obliged her silent demand, pressing kisses and soft, growling nips to her throat.
I've never taken a woman on a beach.
He purred against her skin, sucking gently on the space between her neck and shoulder.
And look at that. We're far from any sort of collateral.
One hand drifted from her hip to caress the scars on her back, the other sliding to cup her backside, drawing her fully against him. Aelin spread her hands over his chest, tugging his white shirt over his head. Warm waves crashed against them, but Rowan held her fast, unmovable, unshakable. Aelin remembered herself enough to say, "Someone might come looking for us." Rowan huffed a laugh against her neck.
"Something tells me,"
he said, his breath skittering along her skin.
"You might not mind if we were discovered. If someone saw how thoroughly I plan to worship you."
She felt the words dangling there, felt herself dangling there, off the edge of the cliff. She swallowed. But Rowan had caught her each time she had fallen. First, when she had plummeted into that abyss of despair and grief. Second, when that castle had shattered and she had plunged to the earth. And now this time, this third time, she was not afraid. Aelin met Rowan's stare and said clearly and baldly and without a speckle of doubt, "I love you. I am in love with you, Rowan. I have been for a while. And I know there are limits to what you can give me, and I know you might need time." His lips crushed into hers, and he set onto her mouth, dropping words more precious than rubies and emeralds and sapphires into her heart, her soul.
"I love you. There is no limit to what I can give to you, no time I need. Even when this world is a forgotten whisper of dust between the stars, I will love you."
Aelin didn't know when she started crying, when her body began shaking with the force of it. She had never said such words, to anyone, never let herself be that vulnerable, never felt this burning and unending thing, so consuming she might die from the force of it. Rowan pulled back, wiping away her tears with his thumbs, one after another. He said softly, barely audible over the crashing waves around them,
"Fireheart."
She sniffed back tears.
"Buzzard."
He roared a laugh, and she let him lay her down on the sand with a gentleness near reverence. His sculpted chest heaved slightly as he ran an eye over her bare body.
"You are so beautiful."
She knew he didn't just mean the skin and curves and bones. But Aelin still smiled, humming. "I know," she said, lifting her arms above her head, setting the amulet of Orinth onto a safe high part of the beach. Her fingers dug into the soft sand as she arched her back in a slow stretch. Rowan tracked every movement, every flicker of muscle and skin. When his gaze lingered on her breasts, gleaming with seawater, his expression turned ravenous. Then his gaze slid lower, lower, and when it lingered on the apex of her thighs and his eyes glazed, Aelin said to him, "Are you gonna stand there gawking all night?" Rowan's mouth parted slightly, his breathing shallow, his body already showing her precisely where this was going to end. A phantom wind hissed through the palms, whispered over the sand. Her magic tingled as she felt, more than saw, Rowan's shield fall into place around them. She sent her own power tracing over it, knocking and tapping at the shield in sparks of flame. Rowan's canines gleamed.
"Nothing is getting past that shield, and nothing is going to hurt me, either."
Something tight in her chest eased. "Is it that different, with someone like me?"
"I don't know,"
Rowan admitted. Again, his eyes slid along her body, as if he could see through skin to her burning heart beneath.
"I've never been with an equal."
I've never allowed myself to be that unleashed.
For every bit of power she threw at him, he'd throw back at her. She braced herself on her elbows, lifting her mouth to the new scar on his shoulder, the wound small and jagged, as broad as an arrowhead. She kissed it once, twice. Rowan's body was so tense above hers she thought his muscles would snap. But his eyes were gentle as they drifted to her back, stroking her scars and the tattoos he'd inked over them. The waves tickled and caressed her, and he made to settle over her, but she lifted a hand to his chest, halting him dead. She smiled against his mouth.
If we're equals, then I don't understand why you're still half-clothed.
She didn't give him the chance to explain as she traced her tongue over the seam of his lips, as her fingers unlatched the buckle of his worn sword belt. She wasn't sure he was breathing. And just to see what he'd do, she palmed him through his pants. Rowan barked a curse. She laughed quietly, kissed his newest scar again, and dragged a finger down lazily, indolently, holding his gaze for every single inch she touched. And when Aelin laid her palm flat on him again, she said,
"You are mine."
Rowan's breathing started again, jagged and savage as the waves breaking around them. She flicked open the top button of his pants.
"I'm yours,"
he ground out. Another button popped free.
"And you love me,"
she said. Not a question.
"To whatever end,"
he breathed. She popped the third and final button free, and he let go of her to toss his pants into the sand nearby, taking his undershorts with them. Her mouth went dry as she took in the sight of him. Rowan had been bred and honed for battle, and every inch of him was pure-blooded warrior. He was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen. Hers. He was hers, and...
"You are mine,"
Rowan breathed, and she felt the claiming in her bones, her soul.
"I am yours,"
she answered.
"And you love me."
Such hope and quiet joy in his eyes, beneath all that fierceness.
"To whatever end."
For too long had he been alone and wandering. No longer. Rowan kissed her again. Slow. Soft. A hand slid up the plane of her torso while he lowered himself over her, his hips nestling against hers. She gasped a bit at the touch, gasped a bit more as his knuckle grazed the heavy, aching underside of her breast, as he leaned down to kiss the other. His teeth grazed over her nipple, and her eyes drifted closed, a moan slipping out of her.
Oh, gods. Oh, burning, rutting gods.
Rowan knew what he was doing. He really godsdamned did. His tongue flicked against her nipple, and her head tipped back, her fingers digging into his shoulders, urging him to take more, take harder. Rowan growled his approval, her breast still in his mouth, on his tongue, his hand making lazy strokes from her ribs down her waist, down her thighs, then back up. She arched in silent demand. A phantom touch, like the northern wind given form, flicked over her bare breast. Aelin burst into flames. Rowan laughed darkly at the reds and golds and blues that erupted around them, illuminating the palms that towered over the edge of the beach, the waves breaking behind him. She might have panicked, might have been mortified, had he not lifted his mouth to hers, had those phantom hands of ice-kissed wind not kept working her breasts, had his own hand not continued stroking, closer and closer to where she needed him.
"You're magnificent,"
he murmured onto her lips, his tongue sliding into her mouth. The hardness of him pushed against her, and she bucked her hips, needing to grind herself against him, to do anything to ease the building ache between her legs. Rowan groaned, and she wondered if there was any other male in the world who would be so naked and prone with a woman on fire, who would not look at those flames with any ounce of fear. She slid her hand between them, and when she closed her fingers around him, marveling at the velvet-wrapped steel, Rowan groaned again, pushing into her hand. She pulled her mouth from his, staring into those pine-green eyes as she slid her hand along him. He lowered his head, not to kiss her, but to watch where she stroked him. A roaring wind full of ice and snow blasted around them, and it was her turn to huff a laugh. But Rowan gripped her wrist, drawing her hand away. She opened her mouth in protest, wanting to touch more, taste more.
"Let me,"
Rowan growled onto the sea-slick skin between her breasts.
"Let me touch you."
His voice trembled enough that Aelin lifted his chin with her thumb and forefinger. A flicker of fear and relief shone beneath the glazed lust, as if doing this, touching her, was as much to remind him that she had made it today, that she was safe, as it was to pleasure her. She leaned up, brushing her mouth against his.
"Do your worst, Prince."
Rowan's smile was nothing short of wicked, as he pulled away to run a broad hand from her throat down to the juncture of her thighs. She shuddered at the sheer possession in the touch, her breath coming in tight pants, as he gripped either thigh and spread her legs, bearing her fully for him. Another wave crashed, parting around them, the cool water like a thousand kisses along her skin. Rowan kissed her navel, then her hip. Aelin couldn't take her eyes from his silver hair shining with salt water and moonlight, from the hands holding her wide for him as his head dipped between her legs. And as Rowan tasted her on that beach, as he laughed against her slick skin, while her hoarse cries of his name shattered across palm trees and sand and water, Aelin let go of all pretense at reason. She moved, hips undulating, begging him to go, go, go. So Rowan did, sliding a finger into her as his tongue flicked that one spot, and oh gods, she was going to explode into starfire.
"Aelin,"
he growled, her name a plea.
"Please,"
she moaned,
"please."
The word was his undoing. Rowan rose over her again, and she let out a sound that might have been a whimper, might have been his name. Then Rowan had a hand braced in the sand beside her head, fingers twining in her hair, while the other guided himself into her. At the first nudge of him, she forgot her own name, and as he slid in with gentle rolling thrusts, filling her inch by inch, she forgot that she was queen, and that she had a separate body and a kingdom and a world to look after. When Rowan was seated deep in her, trembling with restraint as he let her adjust, she lifted her burning hands to his face, wind and ice tumbling and roaring around them, dancing across the waves with ribbons of flame. There were no words in his eyes, none in hers either. Words did not do it justice, not in any language, in any world. He leaned in, claiming her mouth as he began to move, and they let go entirely. She might have been crying, or it might have been his tears on her face, turning to steam amid her flames. She dragged her hands down his powerful, muscled back, over scars from battles and terrors long since past. And as his thrusts turned deeper, she dug in her fingers, dragging her nails across his back, claiming him, marking him. His hips slammed home at the blood she drew, and she arched, baring her throat to him, for him, only him. Rowan's magic went wild, though his mouth on her neck was so careful, even as his canines dragged along her skin. And at the touch of those lethal teeth against her, the death that hovered nearby, and the hands that would always be gentle with her,
always love her. Release blasted through her like wildfire. And though she could not remember her name, she remembered Rowan's, as she cried it while he kept moving, wringing every last ounce of pleasure from her, fire searing the sand around them to glass. Rowan's own release barreled through him at the sight of it, and he groaned her name so that she remembered it at last, lightning joining wind and ice over the water. Aelin held him through it, sending the fire opal of her magic to twine with his power. On and on, as he spilled himself in her, lightning and flame danced on the sea. The lightning continued to strike, silent and lovely, even after he stilled. The sounds of the world came pouring back in, his breathing as ragged as the hiss of the crashing waves, while he brushed lazy kisses to her temple, her nose, her mouth. Aelin drew her eyes away from the beauty of their magic, the beauty of them, and found his face to be the most beautiful of all. She was trembling, and so was Rowan as he remained in her. He buried his face in the crook of her neck and shoulder, his uneven breath warming her skin.
"I never..."
He tried, voice hoarse.
"I didn't know it could be."
She ran her fingers down his scarred back, over and over.
"I know,"
she breathed.
"I know."
Already she wanted more. Already she was calculating how long she'd have to wait.
"You once told me that you don't bite the females of other males."
Rowan stiffened a bit, but she went on coyly.
"Does that mean you'll bite your own female, then?"
Understanding flashed in those green eyes, as he raised his head from her neck to study the spot where those canines had once pierced her skin.
"That was the first time I really lost control around you, you know. I wanted to chuck you off a cliff, yet I bit you before I knew what I was doing. I think my body knew. My magic knew. And you tasted..."
Rowan loosed a jagged breath.
"So good. I hated you for it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I'd wake up at night with that taste on my tongue. Wake up thinking about your foul, beautiful mouth."
He traced his thumb over her lips.
"You don't want to know the depraved things I've thought about this mouth."
"Likewise. But you didn't answer my question,"
Aelin said, even as her toes curled in the wet sand and warm water.
"Yes,"
Rowan said thickly.
"Some males enjoy doing it. To mark territory. For pleasure."
"Do females bite males?"
He began to harden again inside her as the question lingered. Oh, gods, fey lovers. Everyone should be so damn lucky to have one. Rowan rasped.
"Do you want to bite me?"
Aelin eyed his throat, his glorious body, and the face she had once so fiercely hated. And she wondered if it were possible to love someone enough to die from it. If it were possible to love someone enough that time and distance and death were of no concern.
"Am I limited to your neck?"
Rowan's eyes flared, and his answering thrust was answer enough. They moved together, undulating like the sea before them. And when Rowan roared her name again into the star-flecked black, Aelin hoped the gods themselves heard it, and knew their days were now numbered. Chapter 39 Rowan didn't know whether to be amused, thrilled, or slightly terrified that he'd been blessed with a queen and lover who had so little care for public decency. He'd taken her 3 times on that beach.
twice in the sand, then a third out in the warm waters. And yet his very blood was still electrified.